Pod Culture, episode 282, 2011 Parsec Award finalist for Saturday, August 27th, 2011. This episode of Pod Culture is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Pod Culture. I'm your host, Brad Boyer, and my crazy co-hosts will be joining me just a little bit later in the show. What makes this episode so special, you ask? Well, Pod Culture was nominated not once, but twice for a 2011 Parsec Award. Once for the main Pod Culture show in the Best Speculative Fiction Fan or News Podcast General category, and then once again for Pod Culture TARDIS Interruptus in the Best Speculative Fiction Fan or News Podcast Specific category. Not only were we nominated, but we actually made it in as a finalist, and in both categories, no less, which was kind of a bit of a shock, especially for TARDIS Interruptus, since we haven't been doing that show all that long. So if you're going to be at Dragon Con in Atlanta, Georgia, over Labor Day weekend, please check out the Parsec Awards and say hi. I'd love to meet you guys. We figured for this special episode, we would share with you guys the two submission samples we sent into the Parsec Award committee. The first one was for Pod Culture, and the second one was for Pod Culture TARDIS Interruptus. Hello. My name is Brad Boyer, and I'm one of the four hosts of the Pod Culture podcast. Clip number one is from episode 244, and is from our review and discussion of Megapython versus Gatorade. Clip number two is from episode 209, and is a bit of our review of the video game Red Dead Redemption. Clip three is from episode 225, and is a bit of our music and interview segment with Marion Call.
Worth sticking in there for the puns that
lyrics to each other
and then when the mall got destroyed and Tiffany's I hated that mall you know? I mean, little things like
it was funny when the epic cat fight that you know is going to happen at some point, because the two characters do not get along. Tiffany's character is this park ranger
each preview thing,
and Debbie Gibson's a hippie.
She even dresses like a hippie with hideous makeup. Kinda. God. And she looks like a man.
A hippie that, you know, I guess with hippies, don't mind using drugs and, you know.
I forgot the logic for feeding the alligator steroids.
She like wanted the gators.
Gallons and gallons of steroids.
Well, she wanted the gators to take care of the snakes. So she would get rid of the snakes because the snakes are the ones that killed her fiance.
And the steroids would allow unlimited muscle, you know, cell building. That's called cancer.
Well, I like how it happened overnight. And overnight, there's a zillion eggs. So,
well, no. 6 months passed.
Oh, was it?
Oh, okay.
You just weren't paying close enough attention, people.
I wasn't. I really wasn't.
I was watching, and I still didn't get that.
Yeah, I had a bunch of people over, and we were watching. It was like, what?
Okay, so like 12 monkeys, Debbie Gibson, you know, steals the snakes and lets them loose in the Everglades.
It reminded me of Carly with all her things. The snakes reminded me of Carly and all her froggies.
Yeah, we need Mega Frog. So the snakes, however, are an invasive species, and they were killing the alligators. So Tiffany wants to save the alligators, so she feeds them steroids so that they have a fighting chance against the snakes. And there's your problem.
Her motives were admirable, but Debbie Gibson's, she was just being a bitch.
Oh, yeah. both were. Very much
and they
so.
Called each other such many times.
Yeah, you know, when the epic cat fight happens and Tiffany slugs Debbie Gibson's character and goes, "Only in your dreams, bitch." I'm like, okay, they made the pun.
Okay.
And I was just
waiting
for that.
That was going to be the one obvious pun that they
had. There had to be a comeback. Yeah. You knew there had to be a comeback.
Yeah.
Then it, it goes on for like, half the damn movie, it seems like. And they get somehow wound up in the swamp or whatever.
Pond or
Icky part of the Everglades.
Debbie Gibson says to Tiffany, I think we're alone now. Oh. And then, okay, God, there's a pun. Yeah.
It's like,
and then,
oh.
Then, no, no, it gets worse.
Yeah, yeah.
There doesn't seem to be anyone else around.
Yeah. God.
See, I
mean, those were puns worthy of Dick Tracy Green Hornet.
Yeah, but see, when you've got the two superstars of the 80s.
Yeah.
You've got.
In a movie together, you have to do it. You have to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was expecting something along those lines.
The thing that kills me is that they co-produced it together. Are they that broke? Seriously?
But no, I...
Are they that
it's
broke?
It's one thing to make, like, a movie that you're taking it seriously and it winds up being hysterically bad. But when you go in knowing, this is going to be bad, we are going to ham it up.
It was nice to see A. Martinez. He's lovely.
Looking really old.
We're all old. Hello.
But you two have been playing something. Grand Theft Horse.
Basically.
Red Dead Redemption. And just think of Grand Theft Auto 4 and Elder Scrolls Oblivion in a Western setting.
Ow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I have not played the Grand Theft Auto games.
Oh, okay.
But I'm familiar with what made them revolutionary, and this definitely has all that, and then some.
Yeah.
That's what surprised me when you were in the car when we were going to pick up dinner, that you were playing it, because I'm like, kind of like Grand Theft Auto, and I know you don't really care for those.
No, I don't. And, there was a Red Dead Revolver, which I heard was good. I never tried it or played it or anything.
Me neither.
But I heard about this. Actually, it was Todd Cooper that told me he was going to go stand in line and get it when it was coming out. And I was
Todd, really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, he didn't term as a stand in line for a game kind of guy.
Yeah, not that often.
Yeah, I can't picture that.
How's he going to stay awake?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's standing. Oh, okay.
So I was like, well, okay, I know nothing about this. I'm going to check out some videos. And I was just like, whoa. Wait a minute. What's this online multiplayer free roaming world? Like big sandbox multiplayer world? I was just like, wow, that sounds like it has a lot of potential. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go get this. So I ended up getting it the next day. So and I have been totally addicted to it.
Yeah.
Vast amounts of time have disappeared into this game.
Cool.
And hopefully we'll again tonight when I get home, and all day tomorrow if it rains. Otherwise, there's yard work. So rain. Okay. You're
supposed to, I think.
I think so.
That's what you get for having a house.
So I'll see you online.
That's what I like to do. It.
But it's great. Like what blew me away was being able to just get up on a horse and ride, and like the animation of that, and the seamless nature of doing that, the motion of doing that is just, it's just amazing. It's like the animation of the horse itself, the way your character rides the horse.
That's cool.
It's amazingly accurate. The way you control, like how you actually encourage the horse, and you you have the
buggy whip.
Well, it's
spurring on.
Yeah. You'll have the horse's endurance
stamina
on the left of your little mini map, and so if you hit the horse too many times, the horse will get pissed and buck you off. So you can't be going full gallop. Your entire trip.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be able to pace yourself.
Now, is this
an
online thing, or is this a monthly thing, or is this
it's a single player? Single player with a multiplayer aspect.
Yeah,
cool.
To it,
like so. There's a Halo in a lot of respects, but
there's a whole story to it.
Console or computer?
Console. Console. PS3
and 360.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm intrigued.
I want to see.
And the voice acting is awesome.
Yeah. Everything's awesome.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Everything is awesome about it. Yeah.
I've played a lot of games.
Especially.
This is the most immersive game that I've played.
Jane's dumb, but he's tough. And he likes to shoot stuff. And he don't give a damn what you think. Spends his days turning wrenches. And his nights chasing wenches. And he'll happily kick in your teeth. Oh, he'll happily kick in your teeth.
Out of all the stuff that you've done, what would probably be your favorite song?
If you had like three
favorite
to pick from,
favorite song.
Well, it changes week to week, I suppose. I don't know. Probably the new music that I can't do yet, but. I don't know. You know, Dark Duck Eyes, the one about River Tam.
Mm-hmm.
That one, I don't know if I will ever get tired of singing. I sing it every day.
Yeah.
I sing that song daily, and I still am not tired of it, and hopefully that means it's a good song.
Yeah, it's a great song, and it's, you know, it's, it was River Cam, and then you gave it another little spend the night with a little bit of a different story to that.
Yeah, I used to work with teenagers in Anchorage in a couple different capacities while I was there, and I love these kids, but they had the deck stacked against them, really, both urban and rural. It's tough to grow up there. For a lot of reasons, they have very high rates of suicide, abuse, substance abuse. You hope that your kids that you care about will make it to 18 alive and out of jail. It's not the case for all the kids, but the ones that I work with for sure. And so it was kind of dedicated. I was inspired by River Tam, but after I wrote it and started singing it, I dedicated it to a girl who I loved, who I hoped would make it. And she did. And she's doing good now. And I'm very, very, very grateful for that. But yeah, so it has a number of layers.
As all your songs do, it seems.
Yes, I like to write about more than one thing. None of my songs are just about one thing. And people sometimes say, well, I thought you said this was about Firefly. I thought you said it was about NASA. And I'm like, well, it is. And I actually had all those things in mind as I wrote it to fit them all.
My name is Brad Boyer, and I am one of the co-hosts from the TARDIS Interruptus podcast. On behalf of myself, Nick, Richard, Christina, Justin, Andy, and Adam, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to our Parsec submission sample. It contains three clips from TARDIS Interruptus Volume 8, Goodnight, Sarah Jane, which is our salute to the late actress Elizabeth Sladen.
And I guess the most remarkable thing about Sarah Jane Smith, to me, is that she's like the quintessential companion. I mean, she did 3 years, like, which is kind of the average for a lot of the companions. But she seems to be the one that everybody else is measured against. Even when considering contemporary companions. I mean, every year, Doctor Who magazine, you know, holds a poll about these kinds of things. And Sarah Jane Smith is always the number one companion, despite the kids really knowing more about, you know, Rose or Donna or Andy Pond now. And the thing about Liz also, which is very interesting, she played a long time against two doctors. You know, you'd have some companions that would kind of play a show or two before they carried over, whether it's Ben and Polly between the first and second doctors or Perry Brown between the fifth and sixth doctors. You'd have an episode or two, but, you know, Liz had a whole year with John Pertwee. So she was already established pretty solid before Tom Baker came in. Then she did 2 years and a couple episodes with Tom as well. And whether she was working with John or working with Tom, you know, the on-screen was just magic. John adored her, Tom adored her. Ian Martyr, who they shared a year with as Dr. Harry Sullivan with Tom Baker, adored her. I mean, it was just, she just kind of lit everybody up and kind of brought the whole thing up. There weren't a whole lot of stories where she wasn't, you know, going to be screaming or being captured like a typical companion. But just the way that Elizabeth Sladen played it, you loved her for it.
you find out that she lied about who she, you know, who she was to get in to get this story. Mm-hmm. And she used the truth in a creative, not so much lying, but using the truth in a creative way. And just from that instant, you like her. You know, there's something about that adventurous spirit that you just can identify and, with.
Well, once you lied about it, you could, when she's talking to the doctor, she had a little twinkle in her eye about it. She's kind of, you know, giddy that,
I pulled it off. Yeah.
And John could see that. Way he pulled it across, you could see, oh, okay. Well, it's come to about that time to wrap up our little salute to Sarah Jane Smith, actress Liz Sladen. Final thoughts, anybody? Favorite moment?
Ooh. I would have to say, for myself, my favorite moment for Sarah Jane is actually, there's a couple of scenes in School Reunion, but probably the one that gets me the most is when she first stumbles upon the TARDIS and turns around and it's just there.
Yeah. And
that, and she's staring at and that wash over her face of the of recognition. But in a close second, actually might be not in School Reunion. I think actually my second favorite moment is still New Who. And that's going to be in Journey's End.
Oh.
Where she is taken up to the Dalek ship, and she hears Davros's voice, and she recognizes it. You know. And then Davros sees her face, and he recognizes her
because she hadn't changed.
Because she was there from she was there at the start in Genesis of the Daleks. Mm-hmm. So, in the timeline of Davros, she's always been there from the very beginning. So it's funny because you think that being me, I'd pick an old classic Who moment. Mm-hmm.
But this is why I'm surprised.
But I don't know. I guess because those moments were great in their time.
But this is
why having her come back and fitting so well into the new one. And I don't know. It goes back to Liz again, the way she sells it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Particularly in School Reunion. The whole episode of School Reunion is just brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah.
But like I said, that first moment when she realizes, when she bumps into the TARDIS and looks up at it, towering over her with the lights on, the windows and everything. And she just kind of steps back and her jaw falls open and it's just gives me chills just thinking about it.
Mine is the scene also, well, in School Reunion. Of course, I'm not very privy to the old, the classic doctor with
but I'm working on it.
Yeah, we're working on it. But so far, my favorite is in School Reunion when her and Rose are talking in the computer lab.
I love that.
When they compare.
When they're comparing, the idiosyncrasies of, the doctors and, you know, what they're doing. And it's just great. Just great to see them, you know, just laughing about, you know, the doctor and making fun of him. And he walks in all confused. No, and he's like, what? And they're just cracking up and howling. You know, it's... I love
There's
it.
An animated GIF that's the two of them cracking up.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Absolutely.
The Mrs. and the Ex, every man's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Good for Mickey.
Having kind of lived through that in a lot of ways. School Reunion. Of course, being like Adam, not as quite as versed as in Classic Who as Nick and Richard are. But yeah, School Reunion is just... I mean, as soon as she meets up with the doctor, realizes who he is, it's almost picking up like they've never been apart. You know, the scene when they do the power walk, you know, through the parking lot, and David, you know, pulls out the sonic screwdriver, and here, you might need this, and he's not looking back, and Rose goes to reach for it, and he just, not looking, just hands it to Sarah Jane.
I like School Reunion mostly. The one scene I like is really at the end. And it's probably – it's not exactly a really upbeat deal. It's the one where she gets the doctor to account for why he never came back.
That's my second favorite.
And do something wrong.
I think why I like that one better is because it puts a little things in perspective about people in relationships. And he just tells her right out that he's going to live on and – she won't always be there. And that's probably the most moving moment. But I think what's really great about that is she gets it and she doesn't hold it towards him. Kind of an odd scene really to appreciate in the effort of her, her passing away. Yeah. But I think it's the way she handles it. And then she gives it, you know, she gets a gift from the she gets a gift from the doctor in spite of. It's just wonderful, a nice little parting scene, but you know,
it's beautifully done.
It's just, it's just got that Russell Davies way of getting you right here. I mean, really, what you want to know, and Sarah just, why, doctor? Why did you never come back?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a,
I mean, another great moment is, I guess the David's final episode as the doctor.
Oh.
And those different, just the little
I know you
scenes
hate that, Nick.
Where he goes back.
Oh, from the end of time.
Yeah, from the end of time.
Okay.
I just had a brain fart there. And, you know, he goes back, saves Luke.
He just
and,
waves.
He just looks up and there's, you know, Sarah Jane sees him. No dialogue. It's just that she sees him and she kind of knows what's going to happen.
She's seen it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, because the third doctor also died of radiation poisoning and transformed right in front of her. So she's been through this, you know, between the third and the fourth doctor. So when she sees him as the 10th doctor, she's along for the ride. She gets it. She knows how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she probably recognizes it when after he saves Luke and he kind of gives her that look and moves on that she kind of gets it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like, what was it? It was the scene, it was after the Matt Smith episodes of Sarah Jane Adventures, or where, you know, you find out he went back and saw
everybody,
all the companions. Just not what we actually saw.
Right.
We did, because I've not seen Death to the Doctor yet.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
I think that's one of my favorite moments of hers, is in Death of the Doctor on the Sarah Jane Adventures, is that she and Joe are talking about how, you know, we always thought that if he died, we'd know. You know, we always thought we'd know something. And just the way they talk about him and just how she is, it's not that same kind of cattiness that she had with Rose. It's that kind of veteran-ness about her. And, I mean, there are so many favorite moments, but that's one of the ones that stood out for me, was that, you know, they are together thinking that he's gone and knowing something's up, you know, something's not quite right. And there's that spark of that same investigative, something's not quite right with this, that I really enjoyed.
Yeah. So yeah, you definitely need to see those, Nick.
Oh, I'll get around to it once BBC Video decides to release them over here some year. They're always kind of late with those.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of miss Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yeah, me too.
Because for people like me and Richard, who are third doctor people, that's kind of where they all went, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, between Sarah Jane and the Brigadier and Joe Grant.
Mm-hmm.
If only they could have brought back Liz Shaw, too.
Yeah, they'd have the whole gang.
They'd have the whole Third Doctor gang back, yeah.
All right, any other final thoughts, guys?
I don't think so. I think we pretty much...
Go watch some classic Sarah Jane Smith.
Yes.
Yeah. And let us know what you think.
Tell us your favorite.
Yes.
Yep. So he is... Good night, Sarah Jane.
Good night, Sarah Jane.
Thank you so much for listening, gang. Again, please wish us luck at the 2011 Parsec Awards, and we will catch you guys next time.
Theme music for Pod Culture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnikturtle.com.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are many different ways.
You can email us, feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That's 812-672-4POD.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.
In the best speculative fiction... In the best spec... Damn.